Our scripture this morning is from the Hebrew Bible in Isaiah, in the first chapter, beginning Isaiah, and in the 10th verse. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now. Let us argue it out, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Isaiah 1 is interesting because it requires you to know some other part of the Bible, right? I love these moments where the Bible as anthology, as 66 books, not written in one space, but sometimes referring to things that happened before. Sometimes that's really brought alive in texts like Isaiah as a collection of works. So when you hear, you rulers of Sodom, you have to know what Sodom is, right? And what it represents for Isaiah. You have to know these things. I won't push this point further than necessary because we did this on September 16th, our sermon, we did this. We broke it down and at least made it plain. Even if we didn't all agree about it, we made it plain. Amen? What Sodom and sodomy represents in the Bible, it is not about gay people. It's not. The men that wanted to assault the other men, but it was that those people were strangers in a foreign land and they did not welcome them. They refused hospitality to them. This is what made them Sodomites. That they went into the temple and praised God with the blood and the lamb and the bulls. And then they went out into the city gates and they let no one in except under threat of assault. Their faith was disintegrated from their lives. Last week we talked about bodies here and separating body and spirit as a violent way of seeing God and ourselves. Disintegrated religion is what has disintegrated religion and why many people of color and women and bodies that aren't normal are saying, now why would I go to church again? Why would I go to church? Why would I believe in this God? Look how y'all treat me. The more we take our bodies seriously as part of our whole selves, the more it becomes obvious that for centuries we have been taught, and church has taught us that God is something different from our bodies. That the path to God is abandoning our bodies, cursing our bodies, and they've been able to do that for centuries because the people doing it had the power to protect their own body. It's easy to say that bodies don't mean anything when no one's gonna threaten yours. It's a disintegration, a segregated self that is the problem of Sodom and the problem of Isaiah. You have elaborate festivals, but you did not welcome the stranger. We got to watch this now, church. We got to watch this, church. Going into our 125th anniversary, church, our birthday party has to be connected to the gospel and the ongoing work. You had everything to offer, but instead you threatened the stranger. See, this is the hypocrisy of our government across many centuries when we drag the flag out across our sacred assemblies, sports games, and flags as big as the field now, and sing a song that only the most privileged can sing without conscience or some sense of tragic irony. We turn our beer cans into American flags on the 4th of July, moon festivals, elaborate moon festivals. We are quick to support wars and slow to support veterans. We smile at people, oh, hey, peace of God be with you. And we wish them ill underneath our breath. We cannot spend our Sabbaths praising God and then return to abide quietly in systems that oppress. Trample my courts no more, God says. Your offerings are futile. They are a burden to me. When you lift your hands to praise me, I will turn away from you. Hear this as you interpret what is happening on our border right now, or even far beyond our border, as we threaten to cut off funding to Guatemala and Honduras and Nicaragua if Mexico lets these refugees in their country. At least Sodom happened in Sodom. We can't even mind our own business. Well, that's all well and good, Pastor, but why are you wearing a costume right now? You didn't need a costume to say that. Well, I like being an irritant. Y'all know that. I like that some of y'all are bothered by what's happening right now. It does not bother me that you are bothered. You know, soap is an irritant to stains, right? And Halloween has been stained by people afraid of the gift of the global South, afraid of something different than us. If it's different, it's evil. And since we're here on this last Sunday of Latinx Awareness Month, let's be here. Let's go ahead and go there. Can we, church? The worst lesson we teach our kids is to live disintegrated. We teach them with our words and more so with our actions. Work over here. Play over here. This faith thing, oh, that's over there for an hour or two on Sunday. Our past is way back there, locked away. Our identities are a product. They are a fabrication. On social media, we are encouraged to be brands and not people. Siloed selves, disintegrated, segregated. I don't mean that the solution is we should go around disclosing ourselves all the time, telling all our business. That's not what I'm saying here. That's the opposite of that is not being fake. Please don't tell your business all the time. In fact, but we know when we are being one person inside here and then putting on to be another person somewhere else. We know when we're being fake. Oh, we know. There are Christians that curse Halloween as wicked, as evil, for dressing like vampires and witches, but do not see the blood-sucking and the spell-casting that is going on every other day in the name of God in this country, in this city, in this neighborhood, and what we say about our young people. Why are we wearing costumes? Because we always wear costumes. Years ago, that's pre-Christian, pre-Columbian, indigenous folks in the global South created a holy day for the dead that were once with them. And they believed that they still had access to them, that the door of the past is never fully closed. They believed that the ancestors would visit them on a day, and so they prepared grave sites with decorations to welcome them and food to nourish them, real, actual food, because they might come and eat it. That's the connection. They paint skulls with their name on them, sugar skulls, because in abundance in Mexico was azúcar, sugar, so that the dead could know where to go. Oh, I see my name. That's me right there. Then at midnight, they believed that the gates would be open and that the ancestors would enter and bless their family, and then there would be a huge celebration. I mean, a party. You ain't partied like they party on Dia de los Muertos. I'm telling you now, you ain't had a party like that. It's so much of a party that they would leave a shot of mezcal or tequila, very similar things, on the gravesite so that the dead could join in on the party. That's how connected death is to life. People would paint their faces as skeletons representing death so that the dead would not be there and feel left out. This was called Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. Now, the costumes. The Celtic version of Dia de los Muertos was called Samhain. And on October 31st, which they considered the last day of summer, it was essentially New Year's Eve for Celtic people. October 31st, they believed that the dead would come and inhabit somebody's body for an entire year and then leave to find another home. So at the end of the year, they would turn out the lights on October 31st and dress up as hobgoblins and ghosts to scare away lost souls so that they wouldn't come inside their body. This is a pagan idea now, pre-Christian, Wiccan, which has the tradition of women spellcasters, witches. They'd carve pumpkins and put them on the doorstep to scare away lost souls. The idea of Jesus coming back from the dead wasn't controversial at all in ancient times. Indigenous folks everywhere believed in that. In the Catholic Church, here's where, watch this, in the Catholic Church, there's a feast day for martyrs on May 13th. And this starts about the 4th century. All this other stuff exists already. And one way that the church has separated itself from pagan religions around it is to create a wall between life and death. One of the first religions to do that, this wall between life and death. That we cannot access them, said the church, but we can honor them. So on our feast day on May 13th, we'll come together, we'll pray for them, but we cannot access them. They cannot access us, and it's called All Saints Day. And the day before All Saints Day is called All Saints Eve or All Hallows Eve. And when the Roman Empire conquers the Celtic people, they move All Saints Day from May 13th to November 1st, which makes Hallows Eve October 31st, and the church would instead ask people to dress up as their ancestors or church saints and go door to door asking people for money to feed the poor. Now, like all attempts to erase a culture, it only kind of sort of worked. When these people, who are now what we call Irish, came to America, they brought a Catholicism that was mixed with paganism. And some people dressed as saints, and some people dressed as witches and ghosts and vampires, but Halloween was still October 31st. Some people have a problem with Halloween. Some Christians call it evil. I remember growing up and being told that. You don't dress up like this. That's evil. And we need to stop declaring anything different from us as evil. That is a problem we are facing in this world right now, that if it's different from us, if it doesn't look like us, if we can't understand it, there must be something wrong with it. There's nothing evil in anything I've described of indigenous or Celtic worship in those moments. Nothing evil there. No one's calling up spirits, nothing that you would call evil. You know what it is? It's different. I don't have a problem with Halloween, obviously. But I am concerned with how disconnected we've become from our past. Our faith teaches this in some ways. Paul says in Christ that we are new creations. The old is gone, the new is here. That's a dangerous scripture, and one that many of us were taught to never question the Bible. But if you're not careful, you can lose all of yourself in the reformation that's going on. Everybody here has a project you're working on, right? And some of it feels like you should be abandoning your past to move further in that project. Be careful of that. Jesus sends the woman back to her life and says, go and sin no more. He not change your career, leave your family, rebuild yourself, forget who you are. No, he says, go back to your life and start working on whatever it is that you have a problem with. Keep going. Do the hard work. Instead of doing the hard work in our current self with those people around, some people take Paul and forget Jesus and leave their life entirely. I'm a Christian now. All that stuff is gone away. The past is not here to haunt you, church. Your past is not here to haunt you. Your past is not here to haunt you. Your past is not here. The Argentine writer Jorge Luis Borges says, a writer, and I believe generally all persons, must think that whatever happens to him or her is a resource. All things have been given to us for a purpose. That sounds like the Bible somewhere, right? And an artist must feel this more intensely. All that happens to us, he says, including our humiliations, our misfortunes, our embarrassments, all is given to us as raw material, so as clay, so that we might shape our art. It does not pardon those that have hurt us. But now that we have been given it, it is ours to not abandon it, but to do something with it. We have been victims, but in the name of God, we are not victims. We are children of a living God, and we must stay connected, integrated. Some of us are running from the exact place where we need to be right now. The hard work might be where you're running from. When we do Dia de los Muertos here, it is not only a recognition of the dead that are still with us, giving us power, something we will do even more next week on Heritage Sunday, but today is an affirmation of integrity. Say that word, integrity. Integrity, when we think about it, it usually means honesty. But the original definition of integrity means to be whole. To be whole, undivided. It means that the same person I am here, I should be everywhere I go. Whole, undivided, the same person at home, the same person at work, the same person in the classroom, the same person at church, the very same person. It doesn't mean, again, that you have to share your private life everywhere, but you are the same person. And that was the problem with the Sodomites. If they were always inhospitable, if they were just mean all the time, that would be one thing. But because they went into the temple and then acted totally different, it became a hospitality issue and an integrity issue. And an abuse issue, wanting to deal with these people's bodies at the gate separate from their spirits. But notice, never a sexuality issue. I just gotta say it one more time, y'all. Sodom is much more profound and can teach us so much more when we refuse to flatten it and make it about one issue. It teaches us much more. And so many years later, perhaps centuries later, you read in Isaiah, y'all, we're doing it again. We're doing it again. And then centuries after Isaiah, we hear it in 2018. Y'all, we're doing it again. We're Sodom again. I think that is the lesson here that we ought to take as seriously as being integrated with our past or integrated with the dead and having integrated selves, being the same person, undivided all the time, to realize how difficult this is to do. This is not easy. Time and time again, we are seduced to live without integrity. We live in a disintegrated culture. Our leaders are showing us, listen, do what you have to do, even if it divides the self, it's worth it. To not be poor anymore, to be loved by people, to be accepted. Disintegration will put us in a better place to succeed. But do not be fooled, church. Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah and know that they are true today. Disintegration will doom us. Disintegration will put us in exile. Disintegration, when the perceived success of others without integrity is seducing us to do the same, be reminded that our God did not see the poverty and the slavery of the Israelites and say, okay, y'all struggling right now. You can be a little more selfish if you want to. That he did not get them to the promised land and say, okay, you can do whatever you want now. The law is erased. The standard of love does not waver. Be reminded, church, of the one from Nazareth who had friends and lost them, who did his work and was threatened and was betrayed and was arrested. And in all of this, be reminded of the one who did not change. He is who we look to, not the success of others. You can have this world. Give me Jesus. And when we wear costumes, let it be as a joke. Let it be to honor the dead. And let it not be as a way of life. For the silence, live with integrity. Undivided. Same person. Live with integrity. Connected to our past, connected to our ancestors. Do not be disintegrated.